of looking at the first part of Romans 8. And I know we all know the very verse that it's, I'm sure that it starts with, which is very powerful. So I thought it would be good to just read it through together. I did have some different versions. So I was going to read them at different times, but I've left them sitting on my coffee table at home. So we'll just stick with the one I have. Starting at verse 1 in chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh and cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also would be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, as children, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And that's where I'm going to verse 25. And when I was reading through this and praying about what to do, there's so much in this chapter, isn't there? Every verse is weighted with good stuff. But I felt the bit that God wanted me to speak was the kind of the middle section, verses 11 to 18, because that's what stood out to me. So in verse 11, and I'll just check my notes. I think there was something else I wanted to say. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's in here in my notes. So in verse 11, it talks about how the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in me, in you. Generic sort of term, you, as in us. So then I thought, well, is Christ's Spirit dwelling in me? How do I know? This is a question I use a lot in teaching. How do you know that? How do I know that Christ is dwelling in me? And this is what started me thinking about some things. Oh, so that reminded me of Galatians chapter 5, and I'm sure you know the scripture well. verses starting at 19, going through to verse 23. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Ah, this is how I know. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, oh, here's how I know that I'm in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So that's how I can know if I'm in the Spirit or if I'm in the flesh, by what I can see coming out of my life. And that really spoke to me, how important that is. But I want to go back to, in that verse, in verse 11, it says, "But if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life." And that's where God really spoke to me. I felt like I got a personal revelation about life and how important that is. Because without life, we'd be dead. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? If you're not alive, you're dead. And that's the thing that God really spoke to me. Because he does dwell in me, and I know he dwells in each of you. So I've asked myself some questions. How do I live knowing this? How do I carry this power? That's a big one. How do I carry the power that comes with the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead? And the verse before it talks about the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So that's what I'm living in. Maybe not very well, but that's, you know, where God wants me to be living, in that power. So I found that quite challenging. In Acts 2, verse 24, it says, "And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." And then in Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him, baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in the newness of life." So Christ's death enables my death to be in him. Christ's life enables my life to be in him. So there was a transaction that happened between Christ dying and my, therefore, accepting that and dying to myself, and therefore coming alive through what Christ did on the cross. Now, I know these are probably things you already know, but this is what God was speaking to me. And the words "might walk in," I started thinking, well, walking, what do you wear when you're walking? You wear shoes. You might think, what's an odd thing to bring up, Marjorie? What are you talking about shoes for? Well, to me, at the moment, shoes are pretty important, because I've had a third incident with my foot, and if I don't wear the right shoes, it really affects my foot. If I'm trying to use old hand-me-downs or shoe borrowed from someone else whose feet might be Michael's size for me, too big, Katie's size, too small, that I've tried to buy myself because I thought I knew better, that I might have stolen from someone, might have been given, they're not the right shoes necessarily for me. The shoes that I need to walk in are the ones that God gives me to walk in. They're the shoes he wants me to be walking in, the way he wants me to walk. I thought, oh, wow, that's pretty neat. I actually realise now that I'm really only going to speak out from verse 11, because this is what God gave me. He really made those words, gives life. He really spoke to me. And that life only comes, of course, through the Holy Spirit. Our mortal bodies are to be given life. And then I thought, well, here's another question. What is life? And my teaching kicked in, and I said, well, there's seven things. Whoops, can't count, can I? Put 10 fingers up instead of seven. Seven things that we know that make something living. And so I started to look at that. I wrote them down. I thought, oh, I started to think about that spiritually. So the first one There's a little thing, little, is it an anagram where you take the first letter of something? One of those things, it represents Mrs. Green, it is. So I just used that so I didn't forget anything. So the first one is move. You know something's living because it moves. And I thought, well, that means I'm going somewhere. Who can tell me a scripture that God tells us definitely about going somewhere? Oh, I thought you'd know this one. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, therefore go and make disciples. That's what he wants me to be going to do. He wants me to be making disciples. But of course, under the leading of his Holy Spirit. And you know, it's really important because that was his last thing that he said to his disciples before he ascended. So it must be very important that I do that, that I'm going and sharing Christ with those around me in a way that I think is appropriate to me, because God's not going to make me be like Rusty, for example, or like my daughter. I'm going to present Christ in the way that's comfortable for me. But I still should be doing that in the shoes that are walking me in the places God wants me to go. The second thing is respiration, and I term that as breath. God's breath. We need God's breath in us. That's the whole sense, that's the Holy Spirit in us. That breath needs to be coming forth out of us to those that we do go to, whether it be in our family, whether it be with our neighbours, whether it be in our work setting, wherever it might be, that we're taking that breath of God, that presence of God into their company. The third one is sensitivity to change. So, you know, if it's cold, we put a jumper on. If it's hot, we take it off and we adapt. And how did I see that? I saw that as following our sense, spiritual senses, to trusting God's Holy Spirit's leading in how he would want us to be going. He wants us to be going in a particular way. And I was looking up some scriptures about being led and all those sorts of things, and the story in Acts 8, I'm not going to read it all out, but Acts 8 verses 15 to 40 is the story of Philip, who gets carried to a eunuch who's travelling along, and I think it's in Ethiopia, did I get that right? And he shares the gospel with him. And it's pretty amazing, you know, he was willing to trust God in that circumstance, just go with the Spirit, and literally went with the Spirit. I guess he got transported in terms of Star Trek terms. Beam me up, Scotty. Well, beam me up, God. Plopped him in right next to that eunuch, and he was able to then share the gospel with him, with, you know, great results from that. So being sensitive to that leading of the Holy Spirit, when he says go this way, that we go that way. If he says don't go that way, we don't go that way. That we're listening enough, because sometimes the Holy Spirit's voice, I don't know about you, but for me, it's never really loud. I've got to really listen to his direction. And sometimes it is just a sense, things I kind of feel like I get in my gut. I just kind of have a knowing, a sensing. Other people kind of have more of words and things, but I always just get a feeling. And so I can kind of relate to this, that I just need to sense that leading and be willing to follow it. No matter what, that God is always faithful to help us to pursue the things he's asking us to do, to be, so that we can share that love around. The third thing is growth. Didn't have to change that word because we all understand about growth. Well, if, you know, I was born a baby and I'm not a baby anymore because I would still be this big. It'd be a bit hard trying to see above the pulpit if I was only this tall. I can just see above it now, but, you know, like it's not a real tall one. So growth is really important. And I thought of a word for that would be maturing, ripening. And if I was talking in physical terms of a tree, ripening as it grows to go on to do the next thing. But I'll just talk about the growth first. And that comes, how do I grow? Well, I need to be fed to grow. So I need revelation of the Holy Spirit, of God's wisdom. And in Ephesians 1... we'll just look at that. starting at verse 17, it says that the God of our, this is a prayer that Paul was praying through this for the people of Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but in the age to come also. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So that's where we can get our wisdom from, by getting the revelation that the Spirit can give us through his word, through having time in his presence, just to listen to his voice. And I confess that I haven't done that for a while, where I've just really sat, put everything aside and just let God speak to me. And I have to tell a funny story. Yesterday, I could not find my notes anywhere. And God's just saying to me, just come and sit in my presence. I was like, no. So I'm looking, spent ages looking. Anyway, I finally say, okay, I'll come and sit and just listen. And I open my book up and I look down, and there they are. They weren't written on a piece of paper as I had thought. They were actually in my book. And if I'd listened to the Spirit of God, I would have known a lot sooner that then my notes were there, and I wouldn't have wasted quite a bit of time instead of spending that in his presence. And he really spoke to me. It was really neat. Would you like to know what he said? He said to me, look to me, the author and perfecter of your faith. It is very easy for you to look around to those around you or your own thoughts. So it's important, if you want to experience new depth in me, to be listening for and to only my voice. There will always be many who have something to say, who may or may not be right. Time wasters they are, creating chaos and distraction. I just responded. We had a bit of a conversation. And then God said to me, your time is in my hands. I know the beginning from the end and everything in between. Very reassuring to me. So it's really important that we continue to grow. I don't know if you've ever seen plants in your garden and they just stop growing. That doesn't happen, does it? Unless they're not getting the sustenance they need to grow. Then they stop growing, and that's what can happen to us. We can stop growing if we're not being fed through the Word of God, through even fellowship with other people. Because, you know, we're, what is it, iron on iron, sandpaper on sandpaper, helping to grow each other. So growth leads into the important thing of reproduction. So if we didn't have babies, none of us would be here. So it's really important that babies are born, that fruit comes forth. And so that's true with making disciples, that we are having the opportunity to take all that we know and sharing all that we know with those around us, so that they too can come to know who Christ is, and that they then can go and make babies too. Make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. That was always God's intent. And it was very clear in that direction in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. So we can choose two types of fruit. We can either choose the life-giving of the spirit fruit, or we can choose the death-giving or the flesh fruit. And I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of the other, the death kind. My own life, choosing things my own way instead of choosing God's way. But I'm hoping that the more I grow in God, the more I am giving out his fruit, producing his fruit, so that others can come in. I don't know about you, but when I lived in Waniasa, I had two fruit trees. One was a gala apple tree, which is, they were created in Hastings, where I grew up in New Zealand. So I wanted to have one of those. They're my favourite apple. And then I wanted the Queen Anne peach, because we had that in our backyard when I was a child. So I had these two beautiful things, but I didn't just look at that fruit. I went and picked it and I ate it. And that's the thing about fruit. It's there to be picked. It's there to be eaten. It's not for us to just have it and then let it fall on the ground and go rotten, because that's all that happens to it. It's there for us to allow others to learn of who God is through that fruit. And that's why it's so important that we do things in the flesh, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, that we would bring forth life into other people's life and not death. So important that we do that. Then the next one, the funny one, the kids all think is hilarious, is excretion, because I just say to them, oh, that's just pooing and weeing, and they think that's pretty funny. But what does excretion do? It gets rid of the junk in our systems. Junk be gone. And that's what Holy Spirit wants to do in us too. He wants to get, I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of baggage in my life, plenty of junk, some of which I still carry around with me, that God wants me to let go of. He wants me to get rid of it. Give it to him, put it at the foot of the cross, let it go, and let him then come and minister to me in that circumstance so I can continue to grow. Because I tell you, I don't know if you've ever been constipated. It's not a nice, I haven't really, it's not really my issue, but I've heard it's very painful. So just imagine if you were doing all those other things, but then you weren't willing to get rid of anything. You'd be in a constant state of constipation where you're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger with all this stuff. And that's not how God wants us to live either, is it? He wants us to get rid of those things. He wants us to be able to, sometimes he has to, I know as Katie's grown up, God's had to prise a little finger off every now and again of my control over her so that he had more control of her. And that's been really challenging for me to do, to let her go and let him take hold of her, because he actually does do a much better job. Even though she's been entrusted in my care, I know he is just the best at being a father for her. And it's really important that we do let go. And I know that you can go through a time, you know, and everything's good, and you think you've kind of dealt with everything, and then all of a sudden God pops something up and said, oh, what about this thing? See how you reacted to that thing? There's something there. I want you to have a look at that. Because that's often how I recognise that maybe there's something I need to let God touch, when I overreact in a circumstance that doesn't really need that kind of reaction. And of course, the very last thing is, we need to be nutrition. We need to be fed. We need to drink. What do we need to feed on? What do we need to drink in? We need to feed on the Word of God, and we need to drink in the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we do that, that he then is able to fill us and sustain us through that. I know that there's times when you have seasons where you're really good at getting into the Bible, get into praying and all those things, and then there seems to be a season when I know for me, well, I can only speak for me, I get busy and it's not so easy to kind of find that bit of space of time. God's really good now. He just wakes me at like 4 o'clock in the morning and I've got no choice because I'm wide awake. He says, you've been missing, so I'm doing it now. Makes you want to do it at the right time. Pretty hard when you've been woken at 4 in the morning and you've got to work a whole day with children. So he is faithful to enable us to be fed. And the last thing when I was doing this is this. I'm going to show it to you. I don't think the people online will be able to see it, but I'll read what it says. It says, I am alive because I am lives in me. And that's why I am alive. And we're going to So it's really important that, just going to step back a little bit, that we walk according to the Spirit. That's how God wants us to live. And if we find ourselves in a time when we're not, then we can just come before the Father, ask his forgiveness, and he'll help us to pick ourselves up and move forward. So it's important that we walk in a manner worthy of the one we seek to follow. And that's where it all fits together. You know, that all these things that we do when we walk in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those things are evident. I think the thing I find the hardest of that list is the last one, the self-control when I'm driving. Very difficult to do sometimes when you get stuck behind someone who's going 30 in a 60 kilometer and you've got to get somewhere really quick, or I've had someone just stop suddenly in the middle of the road. I've had all sorts of odd things happen in front of me when I've been driving along. And possibly I've done some odd things to other people, I'm sure. But God wants us to be walking in that manner worthy, in shoes that enable us to walk forward into the things that we want. And as we go into a time of communion, we're going to play a song in a minute, I want us to think about where am I not walking in a manner worthy of the Father that stops me from being alive? Because God wants us to be alive. He wants us to live life alive, not live life dead. And that's really the thing that really hit me about this passage. I am alive because of what Christ did. You are alive because of what Christ did. So what we'll do is I might get you to get your communion first, and then we'll put the song on. And I want it to be a reflective time, and you can take it as you feel led. It's a song by Ren Collective, thank you. Just went blank for a second there. You've probably heard it before. It's a great little song. It's an upbeat song. But if you would like to come and get your communion first, and then we'll put it on and we'll just have a time of reflection. Sorry. When everyone's got that, we'll put this music on for you to listen. It's going to come up on the screen here, I believe, so you'll be able to watch it. And we could... You'll just pause this, won't you, Michael? Thank you. Father, I want to thank you that you want me to live alive. You want me not to live a lie. And so, Father, I just want to lay myself before you, each one of us before you this morning, receiving what you have done on our behalf, the life that you've given us. And I pray that as we go throughout this new week, that we would seek through the leading of your Spirit to live alive. I ask that you would help us to do this, because I know that I need it, and that I would take the opportunities that your Holy Spirit gives me to live alive. I just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, life can go along, you know, on a smooth road for a while, and then we hit a bump. You know, we might get really sick, have some seizures along the way. We might get thrown into a whole new work environment. We might end up in an accident somehow that's life-threatening. We might be at odds with people in our family or amongst our friendship group. Lots of things can happen that come across our way that want to trip us up. But God wants us to live alive, to show this world that He is alive. The only way that they can know that is if we allow Him to work through us to show that. And He wants us to be doing that. I'm convinced of that. I don't find it very easy to do. Quite a shy person naturally, but I know that it's important to do that because He said it. Therefore, I should do it. So I'm going to leave you with that challenge. Maybe each morning when you wake up, ask God to help you live alive this week. And let's see if we've got some testimonies to share of how we lived alive next Sunday when we get together. That'd be pretty awesome. Because I know He'll be faithful if we ask. If you would like to join me for a cup of tea, or coffee, which is your preference. You can do that and come and have something yummy to eat that our lovely cook has made for us. Sorry, those people that are online, you don't get to have that bit, but you can have a cuppa, have your own bit. Thank you for joining us, and thank you everyone for listening. Hope you have a great week. If you would like prayer, there's people around. Please don't hesitate to ask someone. It doesn't just have to be the elders. We're all mature Christians around here, so that'd be great. And I hope God has spoken to you this morning as he spoke to me. It'd be great. Thanks.